Would you just take a moment, lift your hands, close your eyes, thank the Lord for his presence. It's palpable in here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah to the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I have debated about which direction I was going today, and I'm going, for the sake of the sound, man, I'm going to preach the faith before the feast, so they're going to have to adjust there. Why don't you shake hands with about five people before you're seated while I change that up on them? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I tried.
Thank the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks again to the lenders and you wonderful people. There is a story that made its rounds a few years ago, and it's a good news, bad news story. A certain man told his friend that his brother was working to get his pilot's license, and his friend said, "Oh, that's good. No, that's bad, because the engine caught fire." "Oh, that's bad," said his friend. "No, that's good, because he had a parachute." "Oh, that's good," answered his friend. "No, that's bad, because the parachute didn't open." "Oh, that's bad," said his friend. "No, it wasn't so bad, because he had an emergency chute." "Oh, that's good," his friend replied. "No, that's bad, because that one didn't open either." "Oh, that's bad," his friend said. "No, it wasn't so bad, because there was a haystack underneath." "Well, that's good," said the friend. "No, that's bad, because there was a pitchfork sticking up out of the hay." "Oh, that's bad." "No, not really, because he missed the pitchfork." "Oh, that's good." "No, that's bad. He missed the haystack." You know, truth is, we don't even know.
We don't even know. That's
stuff happens and we don't even know if it's good or bad. We're like, I don't have a clue. I thought that was bad, turned out to be good. I thought that was good and it turned out to be bad. I don't know the answers. But reversal is what we're talking about. That's a story about reversal. And loosely defined, reversal describes any story where a sudden change or a major shift is a primary part of the plot. You read children's stories to your children or when you were small. Cinderella's one of the most famous stories of reversal, right? She goes from being hated and mistreated to marrying the prince. Maybe we have a modern Cinderella story in the royal wedding. But, you know, the Bible is full of reversals. The account of the fall in Genesis 3 is the first reversal story in the Bible. They live in paradise, Adam and Eve, and they lose it all. You could hear Adam saying to Eve as they were forced out, "Honey, you ate us out of house and home." And it turned so quickly. It turned so quickly. Adam and Eve had it all, and then they didn't. Lot lifts his eyes to the well-watered plain of the Jordan River, and it was compared to Eden. And he chooses a future where he will lose his home and his wife as that region is destroyed by fire and brimstone. And what a reversal that was, from beauty to ashes. Joseph's story is full of reversals. He's exalted by his father. He's abducted by his brothers. He's sold into slavery. He's accused of rape and thrown into prison. And in one day, boom, it turns on a dime, and he's in the palace. Wow. That is as close to a Cinderella story as you can get. The epic of the Exodus also has its share of plot reversals. Moses reversals. He has a death sentence at birth. He's taken and he grows up in the palace. He chooses to leave the palace. He comes back as a deliverer. Pharaoh acts like he's in charge, but God brings the plagues and shows him who's really in charge. And he reverses himself about 1,800 times. He's like, yes, go. No, you can't go. Yes, go. Oh, that's good. No, that's bad. You can't go. And so in the end, the Lord sends Moses and he lifts up his staff and the waters part. What a reversal. They were at a dead end and yet God makes a way. Oh, that's good. Oh, no, but Pharaoh's army's coming after us. Oh, that's bad. No, that's good. Don't wait till the Israelites get through and then water's going to come in. Oh, that's good. A lot of reversals in Moses' story. Gideon begins his story suffering an inferiority complex as the scripture points to this reluctant hero, and he overcomes immense odds and wins the battle through obedience. Samson's relationship with Delilah reaches its pinnacle in the sudden reversal of his loss of strength. Wow. This greatest victory in his life, that the one that he is facing at the end, it turns the Philistine mockery on its head and lands a repentant Samson in the chapter of heroes, the book of Hebrews. How did that happen? In the story of Esther, it highlights reversal as well. Haman finds himself leading the king's horse with Mordecai exalted in the position that he wanted, and he ends up dying on the gallows that he prepared for Mordecai. It looked like it was going one way, but then it turned around and God made it go another way. The book of Daniel, where Nebuchadnezzar cast the three young men into the furnace only to find them miraculously spared. Oh, they're getting thrown in the fire. That's bad. No, that's good. Somebody else in the fire with them. That's good. Wow. Darius spends a sleepless night after consigning Daniel to the lion's den. And the reversal happens when his accusers are thrown in after the miracle night that he spent. The New Testament has its own versions of the reversal motif. Most prominent New Testament version of reversal occurs in the sayings of the parables of Jesus. Jesus regularly reverses his sayings, reverse conventional standards or expectations, as the first are going to be and the last are going to be. And the person who loses his life will. And the person who saves his life will. Familiar reversals that enliven Jesus' parables, the fortunes of the rich man and the beggar are reversed in the afterlife. The story of salvation itself is a story of reversal. Isaiah writes, "Come now, let us reason together. though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. The dead in sin are born again. That can happen today.
Yeah.
I said the dead in sin are born again. What a reversal. Now I get to my text. Now that we have 5 minutes, I appreciate your patience. It's in 2 Kings 7. The situation in Samaria is they're starving. They are literally starving. The scripture says that the city is under siege and the Syrians are going to destroy them if they go out the gate. And so there is no food. And people are eating things that you would never imagine them eating. They are turning to cannibalism. They are, you just can't find anything to eat. It's as bad as it can get. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Really? Then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" You read the sarcasm in there. And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat thereof." And there were 4 leprous men at the entering of the gate. You remember the story. And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we're going to die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we're going to die anyway." And they rose up at the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. When they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, left their tents, horses, donkeys, even the camp as it was, fled for their life. When these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent, they ate and drank, they carried silver and gold and raiment, hid it, came again, entered into another tent, did the same thing. Then they said to another, one to another, "We don't do well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come that we might go and tell the king's household." So they came and told the porter of the city, and they told them, and it got all the way up to the king. And he called the porters and told the king's house within, and they went after them to Jordan, and all the way there was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told the king, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. It happened just like God said it would. It happened just like God said it would. It was a tremendous reversal. Now, here is a question. What do you do while you're waiting for that reversal? Because I believe somebody's reversal can happen today.
Yeah.
I said, I believe somebody's reversal can happen today.
Amen.
So why should you have faith? Here's reason number one. God will turn things around.
Yeah, that's right.
I said, God will turn things around.
Amen.
It was absolutely as bad as it could get. Cannibalism, everything going on. And tomorrow, the prophet said, things will be drastically different. A gallon of milk that's $300 today will be $3 tomorrow. A loaf of bread that's $500 a slice is going to be $2 a loaf. Tomorrow, meal and barley, the staples of life are going to be readily available. No need for the desperation. The power of God will spectacularly reverse the desperate circumstances of Israel. He's going to do it. Somebody say he's going to do it. You got to believe that God can do it. You saw what the price the man paid that didn't believe that God could do it. Trampled in the gate while the miracle happened. Anybody in the house believe that God can bring a great reversal? Come on, I need somebody to raise your hand and know something about hard times. Somebody that knows something about a situation you need a reversal. So God's going to do it. Turn to your friend and say, God will turn things around. Here's the second thing I need to tell you about it. God will not tell you how. I hate this part. How's he going to do it? Come on, prophet. How's he going to do it? Is he going to send manna? Is he going to rain down manna from the sky? We'll get up and have food. Is it going to be quail? Fast food delivery. Just dropping at our feet. Is it going to be quail? What's it going to be? Is it going to be, do we need to get jars and oil and barrels so the Lord can fill them up? Or the meal? Prophets are good at that. Prophets are really good at that. The unending, is that how it's going to happen?
I can't tell you.
What? But we're inquisitive people. And we want to know. And the one guy says, can't happen. If the Lord opened windows in heaven, it can't happen. You're going to see it. You're going to wish you were a part of it. But doubt doesn't work here. You got to get rid of the fear and you got to get rid of the doubt because it doesn't work. The Lord doesn't work in that atmosphere. You got to have faith. Somebody say, you got to have faith. Guess what? God's going to bring you through, but he's not going to explain how. Don't put God in a box. God can miraculously turn things any way he wants to. And he loves to keep us guessing. He loves to keep us guessing. Oh my goodness, have you ever been in that spot where you're like, what is going on? Oh, God and I have had some conversations, Pastor Dan. We have had. I'm just being as transparent as I can. Our son going through this stage 4 cancer, there was a morning I didn't even say goodbye to my wife when I left for the office. She texted me and said, what, are you gone? I said, I am. She said, why didn't you stop and give me a kiss and talk to me before you left? I said, because God and I just had it out and I didn't want to talk to nobody. We were having a conversation. I don't think God's afraid of the conversation. He still didn't tell me how he's going to do it. I didn't get anywhere, but at least we had a good talk. I don't know how God's going to bring you through, and it doesn't matter how God's going to bring you through. I just know that he can, and I just know that he's faithful, and I just know you're going to make it because God is able. He loves to keep you guessing. You know why? Because we make idols out of methods. They did it in the Bible. They had that brazen staff, the brazen serpent, begin to worship it. Why? Because that's how God moved hundreds of years ago. Got a Holy Ghost blanket at camp meeting. Somebody got the Holy Ghost on this blanket last week, so we're going to move it over here, see if somebody get the Holy Ghost. He don't need a blanket. I tell you what, if that evangelist was here to pray for me, I'd get healed, but it's just a pastor today, so I'm going to have to wait. I'm a pastor. I know how that feels. Could you ask so-and-so to pray for me? Did I lose my oil? What happened? I don't know. What's going on? God don't need some kind of guy that comes 500 miles in here to pray for you. God can heal you in your seat right now. He's not going to be bound into a box. He's going to keep you guessing. You know why? Because it keeps you praying. It keeps you on your knees saying, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I'm just going to keep having faith. I'm just going to keep believing that you're still on the throne and that you love me and that you care. Maybe seated. You know what? God can use anyone to bring victory to. It's crazy. Four lepers are silent and voiceless. They're sitting at the gate. They got three options. Go into the city, no food, death. Stay where they are, no food, death. Turn themselves over to the Syrians. Maybe a meal involved. Possible death. I'm going for the food too, man. I'm like, okay. This is the only option that involves food. Let's go. Yeah. Amen. Four lepers. Nobody would even talk to them before that. But all of a sudden, they had the good news. Hey, guess what? If someone's suicidal, they don't care what brand of theology you've got. All they want to know is that you love them and that you care and you got an answer. You got food? You know where the food is? Come on. Follow me. I got a church that'll love you. I got a Savior that'll fill you with the Holy. He'll give you hope and faith and joy. I know right where. Then just take me there. I don't care who the beast is in the book of Revelation. You don't have to have a doctorate degree to tell me about Jesus. Just tell me how to keep from starving to death in this world. Why don't you not worry about it, Heaven View? Just tell everybody. Just tell everybody. Oh, my goodness. We're leaving a concert the other night. Fred Hammond was in town. We went to see Fred Hammond. Oh, man, we left the concert. Car was at the garage. We Ubered, and Uber driver pulls up, we're mixed up. I'm at 16th, he's at 14th. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. He said, I'm on the phone. I'm right in front of you. Oh, okay, all right. We get in the car, man, he's got smooth jazz playing. He's such a nice guy. And we had 5 minutes, drive us to our car. Man, we hit it off immediately. Before long, he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a pastor in St. Charles. When's the Pentecost? Right by Bass Pro. He said, man, I work out right next door there. I said, well, you need to come to church. He said, what time's your service? I said, it's at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, I'm working out at 11:30 tomorrow. I'll be there at 1. I hadn't been to church in years. I need God in my life. You know what? He showed up that Sunday, hadn't missed a service since. Hadn't missed a service since. Did a Bible study with him, baptized him in Jesus' name. About a month ago, Brother Nathaniel's brother-in-law, Dean Byfield, your brother, right? He's preaching on a Wednesday night. Sanjay comes up in the middle of the aisle. I thought, man, I'm gonna wait. He's just getting used to things. Dean didn't know any better. He just went right back there, prayed him through, received the Holy Ghost talking in tongues right in the middle of the aisle. You know what? He didn't care what brand of clothes I had on when I got in his little car. He didn't care about all the different discussions that we could have. He just needed some hope. He just needed somebody to say, I know where there's food. I know where the answer is. Amen. I just need help. Tried everything else and it doesn't work. You know, it's funny. I wish I'd have been in heaven that day, because he really did do something different. He come up here. You're an angel this time. Okay. Prophet and angel. Typecasting. He says, watch us. And the Syrians are out there hanging out, besieging Samaria. God goes, watch him run. It's just sound effects, man. He's like, come on, you want want to sound like you're an army. Come on, lean in here. Oh, there's a bunch of us in there. Yeah. Oh, they're coming. Okay, let's throw some like act like you're on a chariot or something. You're like, you're excited for battle. Okay, let's do little voices. Let's get them. All the Syrians are dead meat. Oh man, we're gonna get these guys. Oh, look at them run. They're scattering like rats on a sinking ship. Look at them go. Oh, this is so fun. Get them. I didn't know God operated that way. Got industrial light and magic up in heaven somewhere. Incredible. Everybody runs away. And then there's plenty of food. That's different. I love it. Now the four lepers are in charge of the good news. They're telling everybody the food's here. And this is, and I'm drawing to a close right here. This is the thing that astounds me. There was a time lapse between when the Syrian army left and when the nation of Israel found out they were gone. So they're stuck in Samaria up here. Hi, Israelites stuck in Samaria. They're stuck in there and they're eating dove's dung. And they're starving to death. And you know who's out here holding them back? Nobody. What's holding them? What's keeping them in Samaria? Fear. Just sheer fear. Army's gone. God's won the victory. But they're stuck in Samaria. What if one person would have said, I'm going to go look outside? I don't see anybody. Walk down the street, walk out the gate. There's nobody here. Hey, come on. How long were they starving? And hungry unnecessarily. There was a lapse of time. They run down the street and there's all this stuff laying in the ground. People leaving their Armani suits in the way and they're running down the street. Man, look at this. I pull up to a table and there's a filet mignon still smoking. It's like, and they're like, but you know what? They don't know in Samaria that everything's okay. Can I ask you, what is holding you back today? Because the reversal can happen right now. I said the reversal can happen right now. There can be people in this service that came in one way and leave the other. Let's stand together. Jesus is in the house. Jesus is here. The Syrians are gone. The Bible says faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, everybody say evidence, yes, of things not seen. Faith is what I got before I got what I got. Faith is holding my fork, waiting. Believing. Just tell me, preacher. Is it real? Oh, it's real. There really is food here. There really is salvation here. There really is Holy Ghost here. There really is forgiveness here. It's really here. All you got to do is believe and come and submit yourself to God. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night. When you study the word out, when the word endure, it's like a guest. Weeping may come as an unwelcome guest, but when the sun comes up, you gotta get out. Maybe disappointed. I don't have to be discouraged. The sun's coming up today. The reversal is about to happen. Do you believe that? Hebrews says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you have, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Receive the promise. Whoo, man. I got to tell you, when I preached the camp meeting a couple of years ago, my son was in the very worst part of his stage 4 cancer. They had sent him home with no hope. He couldn't play the piano, and he's a songwriter. The certain type of chemotherapy, it affected, it made neuropathy in his hands, and he couldn't feel the keys. And he'd try to go to my house and play. Didn't have any hope. They sent him home, no surgery possible, no answers. They gave up. But then, all I'm doing is standing with a fork. All I'm doing is sitting there waiting, because I don't have an answer. After a year, I'm not making any medical recommendations. After a year without chemotherapy, they did a scan. They said, I think maybe we can do surgery. And so the night before the surgery, they did a colonoscopy. That was the presenting problem, was the large tumor in his colon. They went and did the colonoscopy and came back. And my daughter-in-law couldn't text fast enough. She said, they said, no cancerous tumor. There's not a mass in his colon. You know what the doctor said? He said, but we saw where another doctor burned it out. There had been no other doctor in there. They had a tattoo where they had marked it when he first was diagnosed. You know what? Came through the surgery. He's had a couple of deals. He had a spot when he went back in, and they did an ablation on that. But right now, they can't find any cancer in his body, and God just gave him the third child. Why? Because God can bring a reversal. When all hope seems gone, God can bring a reversal. Turn your life around on a dime. I want you to fill this altar right now. I don't care what you need. You say, but my child is lost. God can bring them in. But you say, I'm sick in my body. God can heal you today. Would you have faith right now? Would you have faith right now? Use your faith right now. Use your faith right now.